Welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content and word pronunciation is simply the opinion of the hosts and their guests.
Well, all I got is my life being free. Close on my mind, you can't take that from me, and you should know it.
Hello and welcome to New Shooter Canada, episode 94. It's going to be one of those shows. This week we have a guest joining us, all the way from the wheat fields of Saskatchewan. Wes, welcome, Wes.
Hello.
You are from Saskatchewan, right?
I am, Regina.
There you go. Oh yeah, the guy from Regina. And we have Mr. Hissin, Mike.
Hello.
And this week, we are going to talk about, what are we going to talk about? Traveling with guns. Good thing I could scroll down and read that. But before we get to that, let's cover off what we did in guns. And since Wes is the guest, how about we start with Wes? Wes, what did you do in guns?
Well, this week, it was fairly busy. Last week, we had a service conditions match at my local club. Only six people showed up. I think most people are camping, doing holiday stuff. So I beat five other people. I don't know if that's too much to be bragging about, but I came out on top on that one.
First is first.
Yeah, first is, if you're not first, you're last kind of thing.
Yes. Why do you think I shoot revolver now?
In cowboy, I'm looking for what style nobody else shoots so I can shoot that so I could say I came in first in my division.
You know, that's the reason I started shooting revolver in the first place. Because no one else
went. That's why Mike shoots it too, I think.
Yeah.
And so I was checking my... Have you been on the IDPA.com, Mike?
I'm on there from time to time.
Yeah, it's kind of like Facebook, but for IDPA competitors. It's actually kind of cool. But you can look at your stats, your friend's stats. But last year, all the matches, I was first place. And I go to my best friend, I go, look, I'm undefeated for the year. How awesome is that? I was the only one who shot, but... what else did I do? I got... At the charity shoot, I dropped off some SA-20 furniture, and I didn't want to get it... I didn't want to get the green stuff, like, buy it, because it's, like, $350 for green plastic furniture. So I had CDN Gunworks code it for me, and they just let me know it's done today.
Sweet.
Awesome.
Those are the guys that are going to make Wanda's wonderful, beautiful, magnificent Uzcon pink.
They do great work. Like, yeah, I got the pictures back, and it looks pretty cool.
I wasn't even sure. Wanda says to me, she goes, what's Cerakote? I'm like, I don't know. It's some sort of coating or something. I said, I have no idea.
So ceramic-based coating, yeah.
Yeah, so we went and asked the guys about it, and they pulled out a couple ARs and showed us. And I was like, oh, that's what it is. And it's going to be pink.
Do they have metallic pink? That would look cool.
She's very much a girl, and very girly pink.
It's not pink, it's salmon.
Yeah, I'll pull a Sean Bevins. It's not pink, it's salmon.
Yeah. And I guess to top it all off, I guess today I was looking through some IDPA stages. We got an IDPA match tomorrow, so I was trying to figure out how many stages and what to run. So,
how many stages are you doing?
I think five.
Okay.
I didn't get too many people register. Like I said, I think people are doing vacations, so we'll keep it at five, and maybe we'll run some other one, some of the stages different ways, but we'll see how we feel.
Okay, cool. So are you like the match director for that match then, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
I the way I get started in it, two guys that I shot PPC with, they wanted to try action shooting, and we started our own little IDPA group, and they used to do a lot of it, but one guy actually moved down to Ontario, and one guy moved to BC, so I'm kind of just taking the reins on this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
When it's not middle of camping season, how many guys do you normally get out there for a match?
We've had 20 guys show up.
Okay, good numbers.
Yes, yeah. It's we get guys from, I don't know if this means anything to you, but like Saskatoon. It's pretty cool when we got guys from Saskatoon come and shoot our matches with us. So
yeah.
That's when they have Ipsica matches, they're about the same. They're about around 20 or less.
Okay, cool.
How many people do you expect, like, at your shoots? You get a few, like, do you get more?
Probably 20. Most of the matches, I'd probably say there's an average of 20. You know, they fluctuate. Sometimes you get some matches that, you know, go up to 30 and it'll randomly sell out, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never sold one out. I think our average would be about 12.
No. We always... pretty much every club, their first match of the year sells out. I guess it's everyone aching to get back into it. They get the first match out, and then after that, it's easy to get into one.
Well, a couple years ago, we shot all winter. We shot, we practiced every week in the winter, and it was just terrible cold.
Ouch. That's why we have indoor ranges.
We had this tent that we heated with a propane heater, and it was just like, okay, so-and-so, it's your turn to shoot. And then, no.
No, please. I insist. You go ahead of me.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's funny. All right. Well, that brings... I'll go next, since I've done nothing, so my little spiel is nice and quick. Nothing since Tuesday. That's all I got written down. Mike.
I reloaded another 100 rounds, 38 special, and I took them to the range today. I tested them out by running a classifier. I got about 30 or 40 rounds through it before I had a light primer hit. Because I had just changed out the hammer spring to an 8-pound hammer spring. I popped open the cylinder, put the round back in, pulled the trigger again, still didn't go. So I brought my 10-pound spring with me, so I changed the spring back to the 10-pounder. And put that same round in, and it went off on the first try, so... I think that means just for my own confidence that the round's going to go off every time, I'll leave the 10-pound spring in there.
You'll just have to make sure your thumb gets stronger then. Isn't that why you took it out?
Well, no. By taking out the hammer spring, it makes the trigger pull lighter.
Oh, I thought you were saying the other week that it was bothering your thumb or something.
No, the grip used to bother my thumb.
Oh, I think, that's what it was.
Yeah. But that I changed out the grips like a couple weeks ago, and now it's fine. It was just, I didn't like the angle of the grip or something. Just didn't fit my hand right.
It's good that I pay attention to these things, eh?
Yeah, I know.
What kind of grips you got on there?
Right now, I'm back to the grips that come with them. Hogue. The, like, black rubber ones with the finger grooves in it.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to... I'm debating on either trying to take off the finger grooves or just buy another set of grips without the finger grooves on them. Yeah, but I like that better. My reloads are absolutely filthy. I sent you guys a picture today, and I noticed when I was shooting, like, all the smoke coming up every shot. But then afterwards, when I was done, I looked back at the barrel, and you could see pretty much a line of dirt from where... the gap between the cylinder and the forcing cone, and then you could see right where the end of my barrel was, just the way it was and how much dirt was coming out of it.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah, it was absolutely filthy. Like, I don't normally clean my guns very often when they start to malfunction normally, but this being a stainless steel, I pretty much took it home and I had to clean it. It bothered me how dirty it was. Yeah, so I did the classifier. I came out as a marksman on it. My accuracy was good. Like, I was getting a lot of hits. I just wasn't running fast enough, really. I tried doing the squirrels challenge, the pistol one that's out there. It's hard to do when you only get 6 shots into your gun. Everyone else is just a 10-round challenge, so most other people can just run it with one mag easily, but I got to do a... you know, change my rounds right in the middle of it. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Came home, cleaned my gun. Oh, and reloaded another 175 or something like that rounds for my match tomorrow.
Nice.
Yep.
All right. Well, that will bring up, to guns in the news. And we only got one story, and I kind of just, it came across my phone today or yesterday, so I just thought I'd throw it in. Story, the headline reads, Alberta children find gun in backyard, man charged after police chase. So the story goes, RCMP have arrested and charged a 32-year-old man from Grand Prairie, Alberta, after reports of shots being fired at a local business on Wednesday. Officers respond to a call at 2:30 p.m. RCMP said that there was a confrontation inside the business and the male suspect left, then returned in a vehicle. The suspect has been holding a was seen holding a firearm and allegedly fired it towards the customers. Obviously not a very nice man. The man fled the scene, which started a police chase and lasted several blocks. He was arrested and taken into custody. So we're like three quarters of the way through the story, and Alberta children find gun in backyard. Just seems a little odd they would lead with that as a headline. Anyways, continuing on. While the RCMP were searching the area, oh, here we go. Gun found in the backyard by two young children, 5 and 6. Not good. Children were astute enough to not touch the weapon and immediately notified parents, officers said in the news release. No one was injured. And then it names the dirtbag. I'm not going to read his name. Charged in 15 offenses, including dangerous operation of a motor vehicle, resisting arrest, discharging a firearm with intent, and unauthorized possession of a firearm. Will appear in court July 11th. You know, it could have been a lot more sensationalized. I just, the main reason why I put the story in here was just to kind of make fun of Global for their headline writer. You know, they lead with Alberta children find a gun, and then the story is about some guy having a shootout. Like, it just
bugs me. I would like to add that, like, it's pretty good that the kids knew not to touch the gun. I'd almost like to know if their parents are gun owners and have taught them proper firearms handling.
I find it interesting. This is Alberta we're talking about, right? So yeah,
it is Alberta.
I think you may be onto something there.
But it just could go, you know, it could show the merits to, you know, starting your kids off young with firearms. So just a thought.
Yep. So, and that's the only story we have. Mike, any thoughts, comments, suggestions?
I just like how he allegedly fired it towards the customers. I'm just thinking, if I'm a customer, I would know if he shot it towards me or not.
Yes, to prove it in court.
Allegedly. Just an interesting choice of word, that's all.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's what the news has become, right? It's just, they play with words now more than anything else than actually reporting, it seems, some days. So, well, let's move on to something a little more entertaining and interesting. Our main topic, and shooting vacations. We just had our charity shoot in Ontario, and we had people travel from the U.S. We had people travel from the East Coast. I think somebody might have came from out west. I'm not sure. They got a terrible CFL team. That's all I know.
There's a game on right now, I think, or very soon. No.
And you're on the show with us?
You know what? I don't. Ever since I've been shooting, I haven't been going to the games as much. Go figure.
My dad and I are. This is kind of way off topic, but you know, it's my show, and I'll off topic if I want to. My dad and I used to be season ticket holders for the Tiger Cats, and I can't remember what year it was, but they were making a run for the playoffs. And I can't remember how Saskatchewan figured into it, but these two guys drove all the way down from Saskatchewan to go to the game. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. You're from Saskatchewan. Walking around with their watermelon hats. And yep, I get it.
You know, you have to line those with, like, saran wrap so you don't get your head all gross, right?
I just don't wear watermelons on my head.
I can still top that. Sarah and I were at a Blue Jays game once watching it, and two guys next to us, right in the middle of the game, all of a sudden they take off their Blue Jays jerseys, and they had Saskatchewan Rough Rider jerseys on underneath, and they look at us, and they go, well, the game's on. And you see them take, and you see them take their little earbud and stick it in their ear, and they're obviously listening to it on the radio. And I can't remember what game this was, but baseball game went on forever. I guess the football game had ended, and they put their Jays jerseys back on top over top of their Saskatchewan. Yep, yeah, okay, game's over. We can get back to what we flew halfway across the country to go do.
Oh, you know, God love them. They are the greatest CFL fans that you will ever find. Rough Rider fans. Anyways, this isn't a CFL podcast.
I've been doing guns for about, since 2010, and never on CGN or any of the podcasts. I don't think anyone's mentioned the CFL till this time, and I'm surprised it's gone this long.
I get
glad to break the ice.
We aim to please.
I get teased and made fun of frequently for liking the CFL. I love the CFL. I absolutely love it. I can't say how many fond memories I have taking my girls to Hamilton to watch our team lose yet again.
So you have pretty much the same experience as I do.
Yeah. We come home, turn the TV on, and watch our Maple Leafs lose again and again.
But it wouldn't be as fun if they won all the time, I don't think.
Oh, we wouldn't know what to do.
That's right.
So we've gone from CFL to NHL, and how about we talk about shooting vacations?
Okay.
So let's start with some of the things that are involved when you're traveling across Canada. So, Wes, you traveled from Saskatchewan to Ontario. What were some of the things you had to go through to get your pistols and rifles into Ontario?
Well, basically, you just go to the CFO's website, and there's a number to call. And before, when I've traveled from province to province, you just call them, and you say, I'm going here between this and this time, and they email you the ATT. They'll just email it. I usually had it within 5 minutes. This time, though, I don't know if it's because of the new C-42 or whatever, but I call them and I request ATT and they go and they give me an email the first time ever. So I just emailed them. I'm going to be traveling, you know, to Ontario between this day and this day. There's shoots at this range from this day to this day. And then I'm coming back between these days. And, there was a little bit of an issue. Because on our way back, we wanted to check out Niagara Falls, and apparently you can't go touring around with firearms. So we had to tell them we're not going to be doing that on our way home. So we did it in the middle of the trip. And we just, because when you have firearms, you have to go direct. There's no stopping by.
So did you, like, because you have Corinne's brother lived out in Kingston, right?
Correct.
So did you leave your firearms with her brother then while you went to Niagara Falls?
Yeah, that was one of the stipulations because, yeah, we had a trailer. And I got a note from the CFO. Apparently you cannot store. And I don't know if this is because we weren't in a campground. But because we were staying at their house, like parking our trailer there, the guns had to be stored in their residence. So.
Okay.
That's kind of bizarre, right?
I guess it's like... I mean, like, it's almost like if it's in a trailer, then it's kind of constantly being in transportation, like it's never actually being stored.
Yeah. So
I'm wondering if that's why they want to make that stipulation, because otherwise then you could leave your non-restricted shotgun in your trailer with no trigger lock on it, you know, under a blanket, essentially.
Yeah.
But really, it's being stored there because you're staying at the person's house for 3 days in a row.
Well, and that's the reason I bought the trailer, so I could, you know, these faraway matches, I could save on hotel and all that stuff. So, like, I'm just wondering if it's because we were parked in a residential neighborhood, we had to put them in the house. I would like to know, like, if I was in a campground and, like, are you just not allowed to go to a pistol match if you plan on staying in an RV. I thought the RV would be kind of like the residence if it was parked, and you could, as long as you abide by safe storage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know a lot of guys that Sarah used to shoot with in cowboy action, they would drive all over the province, and they had RVs, and they would always drive to the range, the night or the day before, and they would spend the night at the range in the trailer.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they must have had two revolvers on them, so I imagine it must be all right. So maybe you're right. Maybe it has more to do with the residential area.
Yeah, the fact that a permanent residence is available means you have to use it. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, it sounds like something they would. Like it makes sense in the realm of the CFO, I guess.
Yeah.
How far do you normally travel for matches?
Well, so with the new C-42, right? I think it's all over your home province. So I've gone to Saskatoon numerous times. I've been to Red Deer out west of me.
Yeah,
with some pistols and ARs, and Verdun, Wolverine Supplies in Verdun, Manitoba. They're about 3 hours east, so they're just across the border. So you just need an ATD, and I go there.
Okay, I'm just curious how far you travel for matches that you saw it worthwhile to buy a trailer.
Well, it's not so much the distance; it's just when Saskatoon's about. It's a good 3 hours away, and when the match starts at 9, you have to get up at, you know,
yeah.
You have to be leaving your house by, you know, 6 in the morning or whatever, 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I understand.
Yeah, we got a couple that shoot cowboy. I haven't seen them for a while, but they did similar to what Mike was saying about some of the guys that shoot with Sarah. They'd come down from Barrie and park the RV on the range. And it was actually quite welcome because they would set up the night before, and so it was almost like having security on site, right? So
yeah.
It was actually kind of welcome because that way you got somebody on site with all the props and stuff. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you pretty much you just called your own CFO and told him that you want to go to Ontario, or did you have to call the Ontario CFO?
Well, and that's what I didn't know, but like on the Canadian Firearms Program website, I'm pretty sure it's just a 1-800 number. So you just call that and they direct you. I think there's a department and that's all they do. They take your request and then they fire it off to whichever provincial CFO needs to know about it.
Okay.
Because I don't think there is a telephone line directly to our CFO office in Saskatchewan.
Okay.
I used to have the one for Ontario, and then I don't know if they changed or what they did, but now it always shows up on my phone as unknown number, so now I can't get it anymore, because I was calling them directly.
Okay.
And I'm guessing I wasn't the only one, so they put a stop to that.
Yeah. So how early did you have to, how far ahead did you have to contact your CFO to come out to Ontario?
I contacted, I think, 3 weeks before, but I think if you had it in within a week, you would be safe, because they said, well, is this for in the next couple days? And I said, no. I think they have a priority list. If you need it right away, they'll put you in on priority.
Okay.
Yeah. It's fairly easy. I mean, it's bureaucratic and we hate it, but like every time I've called for an ATT, they've been nothing but helpful. It'd be nice if you didn't have to do it, but at least they're polite about it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
All right. Next, I'm going to cover traveling to the U.S., since I'm the only one of the three of us that have done it. I'm going to start off by saying, I don't know, I'm not an expert in U.S. gun laws and state gun laws and that, but I'm pretty sure from listening to other podcasts, each state will have their own rules and regulations as far as storage and transportation, and then there's the federal standards on top of that. So it's best to check whatever state you're going to. What I did is I went to an Appleseed in Michigan, and I traveled with my rifle trigger lock, basically traveled with it according to Canadian standards. Actually, I took it up a step because I had my ammunition in an ammo can and then had the ammo can locked, which isn't required by Canadian law. But, you know, more locks, the better, I suppose, if you're crossing an international border. You know, and they, when I got there, they sent me to secondary. They searched the car. You know, I was there for all of maybe 5-10 minutes, if that, and I was sent on my way. So they never said boo about my storage or my transportation. So check before you go in case there's some quirky, like if you're going to, you know, New York or something. But Michigan, that's all I did for Michigan. So, but before all that happened, you have to get what's called ATF Form 6NIA, and you send that to the ATF along with either a letter of invitation for a shooting event or a hunting license. You got to have one or the other. When I went, it was, like I said, to attend an apple seed in Michigan with Stacy. So she emailed me the invitation letter. All the dates for the year were on there, so I would be able to go to any of them, and then I attached that and mailed it in. I've also added a link for Mr. Mike to throw in the show notes if anyone's interested in checking that out. I'm just going to go through the form real quick here. It's a pretty standard government form, right? Applicants for full name, residential address, telephone number, fax, email, birthday, place of birth, country of exportation, which would be Canada because you're leaving Canada, country of citizenship. Let's see what else we got on here. There's a questionnaire. Only complete this question if you're applying for a temporary import firearms from Canada. And then there's also instruction sheets to walk you through all this. 13 and 14 are kind of what I touched on before. Do you have a valid hunting license? Yes or no. Do you have an invitation? Yes or no. And it even says here, if you answered no, you're likely not in compliance with 18. It directs you to a law. Then the next part, which is your pretty much your last part, is your where you list your firearms, name and address of manufacturer, the type, shotgun, rifle, revolver, pistol, caliber, or the gauge, the model, barrel length, overall length, serial number. And then here, the last box is actually specifically for Canada, I'm thinking. It's a firearm registration certificate number, which is if you have a restricted firearms, you'll have a FRCN number. And that's where you would put that in. Then you got name and address of manufacturer for your ammunition. Here's a tip that Mr. Donnelly, Thomas Donnelly, gave me. You got name and address of manufacturer. Then the next box is the type, ball, shot, wad cutter, etc. Caliber and gauge. And then the last box is quantity. He said, I believe it's 5,000 rounds is the maximum you can import. So when you're listing off all the different ammunition that you want to bring in, put down 5,000. You don't have to bring in 5,000, but at least if you put in, you know, that you're going to bring 100 rounds in, you're limited to 100 rounds this is good for a year.
Yeah.
So if you put 5,000, then if you go to a match down, say you live on a border city, right, and you're going into Port Huron for a cowboy match, I guess would be the most applicable for me, right, and I put 100. Well, they have an extra two stages, and I need 150 rounds. Well, now I'm screwed because I only bring 100. But if I got 5,000, I'm gold. You'll never shoot 5,000 rounds at a cowboy match. And then after that is just basically your signature and date, and then you can fax it or email it into them. I faxed it from Staples, and they never got it. Then I took pictures of every page and emailed that in and got quite a funky – they approved it. And I don't know why they did because it looked so Mickey Mouse, but they approved it and I got it. When I got to the border, I gave it to the border guard and it literally looked like a picture of a form that printed on an 8x11, but it only printed on half the page. Like, it did not, you could not make it look more Mickey Mouse. And the guy looks at me, looks at the form, looks at me, looks back at the form and goes, well, it's stamped. I'm assuming it's good. You know what? I'm going to send you to secondary and let them figure it out. And I'm like, yeah, of course. I went to secondary. I was there for like 5-10 minutes. And, then the way I went and shot the fun shoot on the Friday night and then the Appleseed on the Saturday. And really, it's really that simple. I think last time Kev down to the Appleseed, don't quote me on this, but I believe Kevin had emailed his in and he had it back within like a week or two. Like the turnaround time was quite quick. So
that's good.
And then, yeah, once you get to the border, it's just, you know, making sure you know what the state laws are as far as transportation and storage, and you're good. And that's about all you need to know.
So how long, they're good for a year, so, right?
Yeah, I can't remember if it's a calendar year or from a year that it's approved. That part I can't remember, because mine, that was, what, two years ago when I went? So I can't remember if it's a calendar year. So if you apply, you know, in December of 2016, you got to reapply January of 2017, or if it's good for 12 months.
Yeah. I was just wondering if it's just good for like that one event, but they're all good for a year, or I would imagine.
Yeah. Now to cross into the border, you have to have that letter of invitation or a hunting license.
Okay.
To the best of my knowledge, I don't think you can just show up at the border with guns and go, yeah, I'm just going to go shooting at a range. I think they may turn you around. You got to have a specific reason and place destination that you're going to. That's why Stacy had put every single Appleseed event for that year in my invitation letter. So all I need, if I wanted to come shoot a second or third one, I'd already have the letter, right? I guess the best way would be just get a hunting license for the state, show up at the border, just look what's in season, I'm going hunting.
That's what I hear a lot of guys in my area do. They just get a small game license.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I've heard it doesn't even matter what state you get it for. So I seem to remember hearing people would get a hunting license for like Alaska because it was the cheapest one, but you could still cross into New York with an Alaskan hunting license with your guns.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's not like New York can turn you away if you're going down to Pennsylvania and you got to go through New York to get there.
Yeah, but you're not going to go through New York to get to Alaska.
Yeah, I think it'd be discretion of the of the border agent.
Yeah, you might.
What do you mean I'm going the wrong way?
Yeah, you might have a hard time arguing that one. But yeah, like, I suppose you could almost get like a Texas, Florida. That would pretty much cover you for just about any state, right? Between Ontario and the South, anyways.
Yeah. Well, I mean, once again, even if they said, even if you had a Montana and you lived in Ontario, I mean, could I not cross into New York and then take all the highways across?
Yeah.
Instead of going through Northern Ontario?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like if you want to, you could argue it.
Yeah. Like for me, I could cross at Port Huron or Sarnia, right?
Yeah.
I'm actually driving in that direction, cross into Michigan and then, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So, but yeah, so that's basically kind of a nutshell version of getting into the States.
What about getting back into Canada?
You just declare, I got a firearm in the trunk.
Do they want to see any paperwork, firearms license?
I'm of the opinion, like, if I go shopping in the States, I already have the receipt in my, well, at the time I had a passport. Now I got a fast card for trucking, so I can use that. But I'd already have my receipts in the passport and handed everything to the thing. So I can't remember if I already had my firearms license in the passport when I gave it to him, because I don't remember him asking for it. So I probably already had it in the passport and then said, I've got a firearm in the trunk.
Okay.
And I can't remember what questions he asked about it. I don't think it was so insignificant that it wasn't even worth committing to memory. Like, I don't even really, I just remember saying, because when you come into Canada, it says declare all firearms, declare all firearms. There's like 100 signs, declare firearms, right? And so as soon as I pulled up to the booth, I got a firearm in the trunk. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he must have asked me if I had a license and if I, you know, is it trigger locked? And like, I'm assuming he asked standard questions, but it was so vanilla that I don't even remember. I just remember crossing into the States, the guy's like, Appleseed, are you actually shooting apples off of somebody's head? And I'm like, dude, this is your program about the independence of your country. So I seven-stepped an American at the border, as Sticks would say. Seven-stepped somebody.
I'm sure Sticks would be proud of you.
I know. I'm not sure he'd be so proud that a Canadian was seven-stepping an American, but Sticks, buddy, you can't see me, but I'm holding two thumbs up. I did it. But yeah, coming back, like I said, it was pretty insignificant. Or not insignificant, I shouldn't be saying that. It was so uneventful that I don't even really remember it, to be honest with you. I just declared my firearm, and like I said, knowing what I'm like, I probably already had my firearms license in my passport when I've handed it over to him.
Okay.
And it was just simple as that. And then, you know, did you declare anything? And probably, you know, and then away I went.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty simple.
All right.
So do you have any tips for traveling in hotels, camping, RVs?
Well, I've never camped or RV'd with the guns, but I have done the whole driving and hotel thing. So a couple of tips I have, really. I know you don't need to keep your firearms covered or hidden, even if they're inside a case. I still cover them up, mostly just because you stop and you need to go to the bathroom, or you're at the Tim Hortons, or, you know, last thing you want is to be seen, you know, ruffling around the back of your car with the gun case when a school bus full of kids show up. So
or walking out with a plate carrier.
Yeah, so just stuff like that, keeping it covered up. That way you have to go to the bathroom, you want to get some food or something like that, you want to get out of your car, you don't have to worry about anything. You kind of set yourself up at home for your whole trip, so you don't have to worry about it until you get there. For traveling to hotels, I don't leave my guns in my car. I remember hearing, oh geez, I don't know, it's been quite a while since I heard this story. And it's of a guy who was going hunting, and he stopped at a hotel for the night, and he had a truck cap on his truck, and I guess his guns were out of sight, but someone must have known that he had firearms with him, and they broke into the back of his truck and stole his rifles out of it. And I seem to remember the guy still got charged with unsafe storage, even though I was locked up in his truck. So I've always gone with the thought of bring them all into the hotel. At least then they're with you.
You know, I can't remember if it was the Friday or the Saturday. Somebody had asked about gun racks in Canada, if they were legal. And this kind of goes more to the transportation issue. And they're legal in Canada because as long as they're unloaded, that's the only requirement. The problem is the second you step out of the vehicle, they have to be covered.
Yeah.
Right? They have to be out of sight. So it makes owning a gun rack impractical, but you can do it.
Yeah. And not to mention how many cops will get called on you. Even if you're just driving to the range.
Yeah. Well, it's like the running joke my dad and I had leading up to the charity shoot. He was going to go buy a second SKS, and he wasn't actually going to, but there was, like I said, running joke, you know, was that he'd buy an SKS, strap it to his back, and ride his motorcycle to the charity shoot. You know, and we kind of laughed. I'm like, yeah, legally you can do it. You're going to get pulled over by every single OPP jurisdiction from here to Kingston, or you'll get pulled over in Ontario, they'll seize your gun, and then you'll have no gun to go to the charity shoot with. But you're legal. Yeah. Just like the guys Friday morning. They were all perfectly legal, but they still had a police incident, right? Because somebody saw something in the public that they just went, oh, guns! You know. Anyway, sorry. Kind of chased a rabbit down a hole there.
Yep. Yeah, I got a couple tips for staying in hotels. This is just my tips, but like most hotels the long hallway at the end. At the end of the hallway, they have a like an emergency exit or a secondary entrance and exit. I always use those ones. I don't. If I'm carrying gun cases in and out of the hotel, I rarely like to go to the main lobby if I have to. And I always put the do not disturb sign on the door. I don't want the maids to be coming through there, rooting through all my stuff.
Oh, I never thought of that. That's a good point, the do not disturb. See, my problem is I'm a bit of an idiot. I know all our listeners are shocked to hear that. I've got two gun cases, and I generally go to the range with more than two guns. And so, like, the first two guns will be in a case, and then the rest of my guns, I just walk them right through the apartment building, right out the door, right to my car, just out in the open. And, you know, maybe I just got good neighbors, or they're just used to that idiot in apartment 33. He's just a dumbass. Whoa, I almost added that for you there, Mike. there's that dummy in apartment 33 and him and his guns, but, you know, so don't be like George.
Isn't that the motto of the show?
Yeah, pretty much. That's how the show got started. Don't be like George. Do it the right way.
Yeah.
Like, don't take your scope off your gun when you're cleaning it.
Sometimes you gotta do.
I thought it was every time. Who knew? Apparently everyone that shoots guns knew.
Everyone likes sighting in. That's like the most fun part, so.
You're putting holes in paper. You gotta spice.
Well, hopefully. Nothing more frustrating than when you pull the trigger and you go, where'd it go? And your person's body goes, no idea.
I'm gonna scroll off here for a sec. We went to ZeusCon out to pattern it. And so we did that, went through a box of shells and had a gay old time and big smiles on everyone's face, and it was all fun. So then we moved on to the 22. Well, my 22 sighted in at 50 yards, and I've never cleaned it, so the accuracy's terrible on it. So I'm like, we'll sight it in at 100 yards. Well, I didn't bring any targets, so all I had was just this roll of paper that I bought from Staples to pattern the shotgun with. I'm like, good enough. So put that down at 100 yards. Yeah, the bullet holes don't show up very well on brown, just kind of like construction paper. So I'm like, am I hitting it? So like 10, 15 rounds, I'm like, I don't see any holes. Wanda would look, she goes, I don't see any either. Go down, and it's like 6 inches low. And I'm like, oh, that's right. So I adjusted. I'm like, I'm still not seeing holes. So, sighting in when you don't have the proper equipment or the proper targets is not fun.
Do you have a spotting scope?
Yeah, it's in my dad's trunk because for some reason my dad feels that he needs to have my spotting scope in his trunk for all the times that he never goes to the range without me.
That makes sense.
I know. Who am I to argue? Because the same can be said the opposite way. For all the times that I go to the range without him, oh wait, I did go to the range without him. Oh, imagine that. I'm not bitter. No, I'm not now. I was that day. I was a couple F-bombs. But yeah, because I do have a spotting scope. And I should have put up proper targets if I had them, and then it would have all been good. But anyways, how the heck did I get there?
I don't even know.
I don't know either. Wes probably left. He's like, oh, I don't want anything to do with these guys. Ooh, distance.
Oh, come on.
We don't have Kelly anymore. She was on kept us in line.
Well, Kelly nominated me to be...
new Kelly?
The new adult supervision.
You're the new Kelly?
I wouldn't call myself the new Kelly.
Sorry, you guys, tell you what, you cannot be the new supervision unless you start shaving your legs. Anyways, sorry, I kind of hijacked the show there. So back to hotels.
Yeah. Oh, another thing I do for the hotel is, I know it probably doesn't stop someone who's committed to stealing my stuff out of my hotel room, but if I know that I'm going to leave my hotel room when my guns are there, like going out for dinner or something like that, like the Friday night for the charity shoot, I'll bring something like a cable lock, or I actually have an old snowboard lock, which is just like a really long cable lock. And I will lock my cases to something solid in the room. And my logic there is at least it's one more thing that if someone wants to try and take my stuff has to go through in order to try and get it out of the room.
And the chair leg, folks, is not something solid. Gotta pick something better than a chair leg.
Why? What's wrong with a chair leg?
That's my nugget of wisdom.
Table leg?
And I just want to add one other thing here. If you're camping with guns, because I've done this, make sure that you got friends nearby with hotel rooms. Because when it rains and it's like a monsoon, it's nice to have somewhere dry to dry off your guns.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome.
My maple seed and Wanda. Our tent was actually pretty dry, but I don't want to be trying to dry and clean a gun inside of a tent.
Yeah. When you were camping, did you leave your guns inside your car, or did you bring them inside your tent at night?
We left them in the car, but this brings up an interesting point. Actually, a very interesting point. We called ahead to... It was a private campground, and we called ahead and talked to the owners to make sure it was okay. And what makes this very significant is... Last year, we went May 2-4 camping at Fanshawe Park, a local conservation area in London here, and just the mere possession of a firearm on their property is a $180 fine. You can be as legal can be, you will get a $180 fine just for having it on their property. So you can't, you can't go camping at Fanshawe Park with a firearm. So if you are going to, if you're thinking about camping, make sure you call ahead, that sort of thing, because there may be camp rules against firearms being on site. I don't know what the provincial laws are.
Last time I checked the provincial laws, and don't quote me on this because it's been years since I checked it, but the Ontario provincial law was that you can possess a firearm in the campground, but it has to stay encased and in your car the entire time that you're on their property.
Gotcha.
So pretty much if you're going to a shooting event, essentially you could stay at the campground, but you couldn't clean it when you got there. Or if you were hunting and you wanted to camp at their campground. But like you said, you should always check ahead just to be sure.
Yeah.
And it's been years since I checked, so I'm not 100% sure if that's changed or not.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the stipulations that this private camp owner had said. She's like, well, you're not going to have them out lying around cleaning them or something, are you? And I was like,
I'm not now. Answer,
no. I'm going to go with no on this one.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, we would appreciate it.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and that was kind of the end of that. I was like, if that's an issue, I have no problems. Leave. I think that was it. We did have to leave them in the car.
Yeah.
So.
And you felt comfortable leaving them in the car when you were in the tent?
Yeah, because the car is like 10 feet away, right? And it's got an alarm on it, so.
Okay. But that also brings up a good point about if you could camp with your RV and you had guns on you. Just if you want to clean your guns, if you had an RV, close your blinds and who's the wiser?
Yeah. I'm going out and buying guitar cases. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And if we could get them in Canada, I'd love a violin case with a Thompson inside it. How badass would that be?
You can get the tennis racket one for an AR.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I got half an AR.
Well, that's we'll get you halfway there.
So what's that? I just need a what's the wannabe tennis racquetball
squash.
So I guess I just need a squash case for my half a air. Okay, well move. I guess that's about it. Anything else, Dad? Oh look, a rock. Oh, something shiny. Oh, a beer. Okay, anything else, guys? Otherwise, we'll move into events.
Just to add to that, when you're going traveling with guns, make sure they work. I've gone to a match, and you get there, and your firearm doesn't work at all, and so you got the thing stripped apart, and you're looking for you know, hotel room towels or whatever to clean it, see what the problems are. So save their towels and make sure you clean your guns and make sure they work before you go.
Oh, that's a great point, and I'd like to add one other one. Make sure when you throw your mother your keys because you're taking her car camping or backpacking that you take your damn trigger locks keys off your key ring or have a spare set. Because when you get up to your campsite and you got a cable lock on your mare's leg, it's just become a glorified club. And I ain't clubbing any bears to death. So my bear defense gun became useless because it had a trigger lock on it. So make sure you have your keys. Because how many, like, I'm a single guy. Well, single to a certain point at Wanda. But I live alone. And so, you know, once Wanda and I are married and living together, if I were to grab her keys, throw my guns in her van, and leave her my keys, well, I've just screwed myself because I got no locks, no keys for my trigger locks because they're all on my key ring, right? So that's something to keep in mind, too.
You know what the real simple solution is? You get trigger locks that are combination locks.
Well, I... Thank you, Captain Obvious. I've started doing that now.
Have you guys seen those trigger locks? They just have, like, a big screw that goes through them. Those are the ones I like because you can usually find something that'll undo them.
Oh, yeah, the little, like, the clamshell ones?
Yeah, it's like a clamshell, and it's just got a screw with two holes in the head. Yep. And...
Oh, the security bit one, yeah.
Yeah, I think I got that on my buckmark. Or, sorry, well, it's technically my buckmark, but it's the pink buckmark I bought for Jessica, who never shoots it.
Yeah, I saw that. Sarah has one of those. They're amazingly accurate.
They're accurate. Well, I'm going to take that out to do the Rifleman's Challenge. And comfortable. Oh, I love that gun.
Come on, I did mine with a 38. Can't you do yours with your cowboy guns?
I got some rounds loaded up, so you know what? I should.
Bring both guns, put five in each, bring in your holsters, and just like in cowboy shoot, just transition.
Yeah, I shoot at like a 2x3 foot metal target. and even then, it's not a guarantee that I'm going to hit the thing. Let alone these tiny little stars.
Yeah.
So,
That's why they call it a challenge.
Well, you know, some people call me challenged. So, what's...
You're nice. You're nice to yourself.
Hey, listen, I love being me. I would never choose to be anyone else. I love being me. It's a party in my head every single day. It's a party. Let me tell you, I love it. All right, so events. Do you have the show notes up there, Wes?
Yeah, I do.
How about you take the first one?
Yeah, I'll take it. So on Saturday, July 16th, Land Shooting Supplies will be hosting a fundraising shoot at the Silverdale Gun Club for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. They will have guns for you to use from 22 to 50 BMG with qualified instructors on hand. No firearms license is required. Draw guns, 50-50 raffles, and a Firebird shoot by Land Shooting Supplies. Grand Power Distribution has donated a 9mm pistol 2B1. There are currently accepting donations and guns for the prize tables. If you wish to donate any products or volunteer your time to help out, please email them at gunrangeforyou@yahoo.ca.
I just want to add one little bit here. Land Shooting Supplies actually donated one of our prize packs. So just want to give them an extra shout out. And does it say where this event's taking place? Silverdale Gun Club.
Silverdale.
Yeah. Where's Silverdale? That's...
Right beside Lands.
Is that Toronto area?
I think it's south of Toronto.
Okay. So if you're in that area, or you know where Silverdale, I've heard of Silverdale, I'm blanking on where it is. I would encourage you to go out. They were great at sponsoring us and giving us a prize pack, so it's kind of nice to maybe pay it back a bit.
Yeah, you guys did well with your prizes. Man.
Yeah.
They're worth a lot.
Yep.
Silverdale is, I'll call it, close to halfway between Hamilton and Niagara Falls.
Oh, so it's like past Toronto.
Yeah. Well, depending on which way you're coming from.
We'll call that kind of Stony Creek-ish.
Okay.
You guys aren't speaking my language here.
He's not speaking my language. He's not speaking my language either, so don't worry.
It's the center of the universe, Ontarioese.
I've heard that.
Toronto's the center of the universe. Didn't the word get out that part of the galaxy?
My Canadian geography stops east of Winnipeg, so that's the extent
I know. I can't blame you. I wish mine did too some days. Okay, Mike, event number two.
The Barrie Gun Club 4th Annual Ladies' Day is on Sunday, October 4th from 12 to 5. This ever-growing popular event has raised over $15,000 and has been attended by over thousands coming out to try shooting. Almost all participants keep coming back year after year, and we welcome all ladies to come out for a fun-filled day. There's no experience necessary, and no firearms license is required, as you'll be supervised by one of our safety instructors. This year, there will be a $20 registration fee, with all proceeds going to the Canadian Breast Cancer Foundation. There will be plenty of safety instructors to help ladies shoot a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, as well as cowboy action, skeet, and trap. This year, we'll be offering many gifts, prizes, and there will be plenty of corporate sponsors, including Cabela's, Glock, Winchester, CSSA, Elwood Epps, just to name a few. If anyone wants to try a larger caliber firearm or a multiple turn, we'll be asking for a small donation of $5. There will be many gifts and gift baskets to raffle off as well, with all proceeds being donated to Canadian Breast Cancer Foundation. There will also be a barbecue available for a nominal fee. Any cash, checks, payable to Canadian Breast Cancer Foundation or credit card donation will receive a tax-deductible receipt. For registration or more information, please contact Susan Rattel at susan.rattel@barriegunclub.org.
I'm glad you read that one.
Yeah, thanks, George. Why don't you take event number three, the one I put in?
Well, I don't know. I'll see if I can get through the 2.5 lines that it is.
You know, the only one who doesn't shoot IDPA.
All right, here we go. Deep breath. Aztec Armory Algonquin. Hey, Algonquin, that's a tough word. Cup 2016. Level 2. Let's try that again. Don't edit that out. That was golden.
Oh, I'm not. Don't worry.
That was awesome. Aztec Armory Algonquin Cup 2016 Level 2 IDPA match at the Eagle Lake Gun Club in Sunridge, Ontario will be on September 18th. For more information, please visit algonquincup.ca. Not as good as the first attempt, but, you know, I got it out.
It'll do.
All right, listener email. We've been wrestling over who had to read this one. But since
I might as well just read it. Jesus.
since my event was so short, I'll read the listener email. Hello, I'm just writing this email to thank all the hosts for putting on the 6th annual charity shoot. Corinne and I had a great time meeting all the fine folks we have been listening to for months now. I'm especially grateful that the organizers put up with my shenanigans. Hey, that's my word, buddy. Back off. You see, I only brought one set of firearms for Corinne and I. Actually, I don't think you guys were the only ones that did that. I think few people did that, yeah. Plus, I brought another shooter along at the last minute. Well, you know, three people, one set of guns. What do you expect? Jeez. I thought it would be run similar to a practical shooting match, and boy, was I wrong. You guys were there for us and lent us your guns, and everyone had a great time. Next time I know that I need to set Corinne up with her own guns. Also, thanks to E.T., George, of course, because, you know, I'm the man, Thomas, and Wanda, because she's the girl, for shout-outs. Okay, there might be some slight host additions to this email. Shout-outs on episode 92. Gave us quite a chuckle on the ride home to recap the McClashy shot, guns falling apart, and Desert Eagle experiences. That was an awesome Desert Eagle. Wanda, next time, I'll have to share this with her. Next time, you need to try it and enjoy the new shotgun. And she did. She was shooting it out the weekend. Mike, it was a pleasure to meet a fellow IDPA shooter. I hope to make it down to a match or see you at my range in the future. Keep up the good work. Wes Stevens.
Yeah, name well, that was nice.
That was a very nice email.
Yeah. Even though it came from that West guy.
Yeah. He's no good. Get him out of here.
That's what I hear.
No, it was good meeting up with you too, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry to hear about the 1911, but it's
well,
1911.
Did you see on my way back, we stopped in at Tactical Ordnance, and a friend wanted some parts for his Versamax shotgun, but while I was there waiting for him to come back with the parts, I go, I got this 1911. Would you mind looking at it? He goes, sure, bring it in. And he just oh, the firing pin's bent. He whipped that out of there, threw a new one in. He goes, here you go. Boom, back in business. Because I lost at least one small part in the grass. And I think it was the firing pin safety plunger spring. And he had one. So.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
cool. I know. So I took it out to the range the following weekend, and I was just hammering the plate rack with it. So it works. It lives.
That's good.
Sweet. Ooh. Now, did Corinne shoot on Friday at all?
No, she didn't. I tried to get her to take that RJ Woods course when I booked, but she didn't want it. I think she thinks that it was going to be way more intense than it was. I told her it would have been perfect for any beginner shooter.
Yeah, he, because he's got a couple courses that he runs, and this was the fundamental. So this was the very, you know, I don't know anything about hand. It was perfect for me because I don't shoot semi-autos. I shoot single action revolvers, and that's why I took the course, was because if I do get a semi-auto, I would like to be able to use it proficiently. So, but that was the whole point of the fundamentals course. But at the end, where he had the bad guy and then the hostage situation,
mm-hmm.
that exercises from his
urban pistol.
Yeah, urban pistol. Thank you. Sorry, Rick. Please forgive me. Don't pistol whip me at the range. that's from his urban pistol. That's the home defense stuff that he teaches, and he just kind of threw that in at the end, just as kind of a, you know, as a teaser type of thing, right?
And it was fun.
It was. I know that was. It was wicked.
I nailed that hostage taker right in the face.
Yeah. But you know what I like about Rick, and I really really appreciated his approach to this, because when I shot it, I didn't go for any headshots, and so he mentioned that to me. He goes, you didn't go for the head. I said, this is like the second or third time I've ever shot a semi-auto. So like 9mm. Like I've got an 22s, right? But in this situation, I'm like, I just didn't feel comfortable going for a headshot. And he goes, good. Know your limitations. Stay within them. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly right. You know?
Like if you miss a headshot wrong, like it could go into the other head, right? So
yeah, or it could go into the 10-year-old girl a block down the street, right?
Yeah.
If it's, you know, if you're talking a real life self-defense situation, right? So, you know, I thought that was pretty cool. I really respected him for that. So yeah, if anyone go on his site, great course. I'm not sure what he's doing for a range for live fire. So check his website out. It was a great course. Another excuse for you guys to come down, visit Corinne's brother, and, you know,
yeah,
go take an RJ course.
RJ, I think the next thing, I'd like to do one of those apple seed things. So I don't know if the maple seed starts up or if I'll do an apple seed, but those sound pretty cool. They seem right up my alley.
It's rumors, so I'm not going to mention any names, Kevin Latham, that there's some orange hats now. So I don't know if they're what the timeline, what the discussions. I'm not privy to any of that, but I know the last round, last group that went down to Michigan, everyone that needed to got their rifleman patches, and I think you need two to get an orange hat. And there was a picture on Facebook with a bunch of Canadians with orange hats on. So read into it as you will. Like I said, nobody has said anything to me, so I don't have any inside information. But Facebook. Canadians, three orange hats, maple seed, you know, 1 + 1 + 1 equals shiny rock. I don't know, you know, read into it what you want. But so there may be a program starting up in Canada, hopefully. I don't know. How far How far is Regina from the border?
It's probably south of
Montana.
Yeah, Montana, and I think it's only a couple hours to the Montana border.
Yeah, the next trick is finding a chute, though. Who knows?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. So I think the last time I looked, there wasn't one IDPA club in all of Montana. So that's why I haven't gone to the States yet. I think if I went to Minot, which is a little further away, they have good shoots there. I hear they got 3 guns and stuff once a month, but I just haven't been able to make it out yet.
That's North Dakota, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think in that area, they also do apple seeds.
Oh, really?
I've looked up Appleseed in Montana, too, and I think they were pretty far south of, like, Montana's a big state. Mm-hmm. I think they're pretty far south, but I think in North Dakota, there's a couple closer to the border. I mean, I know that's 3 hours over and probably 3 hours down, but that might be your closest option.
I drove 5 hours for my Appleseed, just saying, Wes.
Oh, but I think some of the far corners of Montana are, they're getting to be about 8 hours away from me.
Yeah.
Another thing is 16 hours straight south is New Mexico, and they got that NRA Whittington Center. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's kind of like the shooting resort for if you're a gun guy.
Oh.
You can camp or you can rent a cabin, and you walk outside, and it's like any discipline you want to shoot, I kind of take it as.
Huh. Interesting.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, did anyone check Facebook likes?
Yes.
Oh, 859.
Yeah.
All right, so we're up to 859. So if you haven't liked the page, go like the page, because it makes us smile, and we die a little bit inside when people don't like the page.
And if people want to send in an email like Wes did, how would they do that? You kind of blew over that part.
I skipped over that part. So please send any feedback, questions, or comments you may have to host@newshootercanada.ca, our Facebook page, our comment section, or our website at newshootercanada.ca.
Awesome.
And yeah, iTunes, Stitcher, going to do that next. Take care of that next week. Facebook likes are 859, so go and like our page. Otherwise, we die a little bit inside. I think I said that already. And closing comments. If you like the show, tell a friend. Tell 2 friends. We used to have a poster. I'd have to double check our document section. Should run a contest. Have people post up the poster of our poster of our show and then have a giveaway.
You know what? I'm going to do this right on the spot. I got some New Shooter Canada hats.
Oh.
We'll run a contest to get a New Shooter Canada hat for a poster.
All right. So
stay tuned for next week for details on this contest.
Because that just kind of got pulled out of our butts. All right. So it's funny because I'm looking at the show notes and there's absolutely nothing under closing comment. So shout outs, Wes. Any shout outs?
I'll just shout out to my local gun club. Thanks for everyone who helps out with the matches kind of thing.
All right. Mine is to Mike. We're recording on a Friday night because of a little more conducive to work schedules. And Mike's comment was, oh, wow. I mean, I get to have a drink while we record the show. So my shout out is to Mike. If he actually drinks on the show and cracks one open on the mic. And I don't know what he's drinking, but it was that popping sound. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking McLellan's Islay Single Malt Scotch Whiskey.
Oh, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Ooh.
I had a steam whistle, and now I'm drinking a Guinness. Wes, what are you drinking?
Nothing too fancy. I think I had a Powerade, because I got to go help set up a match right away.
Oh. Well, if you had been drinking, it would have been a great, interesting match tomorrow.
It might have been, but we'll drink after tonight, I think. And hopefully I can pull it together tomorrow morning.
There you go. How about you, Mike? Any shout-outs?
Just to Wes for coming on tonight. Thanks for coming up.
Thanks for having me.
It was
thanks
a pleasure.
For putting up with my... This is new to me, so I'm sure there'll be lots of editing.
Hey,
Any moment, show with George, there's a lot of editing.
I was just going to say, the moment I show up, the standards and the bar is set low, buddy. It's set low. Anything anyone brings is golden compared to what I bring. So don't worry. Have you listened to the show?
Thanks all the same. It was good. Good talking with you guys.
It was a blast. So I guess until next week, keep your barrels pointed downrange and smoking.
Time spent at the range is time spent with family.
Take a kid shooting in honor of Thomas. And Wes, say something witty.
You got me on the spot here.
You could have just said witty.
Oh, okay. Witty.
There we go. Until next week, everyone, have a great day, and we will chat with you again. Good night.
Good night.
I really like 22 now.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or feedback you may have, or if you just want to call shenanigans. You can contact us at host@newshootercanada.ca or through our Facebook page.
The way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale until I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.
Got a squirrel over there.
Oh, look, something shiny. Is that a rock? Oh, I think I see a rock.